Amen. All right, get your Bible, turn to Genesis, if you will. And Genesis chapter 44. Genesis chapter 44, if you will. Genesis 44. I'm not going to read the whole passage. Of course, most of you already know. You already know about what I'm fixing to say, but I want to look at it maybe in a little different way. Genesis 44. Look at verse 19, if you will. Well, let's just start with verse 18, shed a little light on what this says. Then Judah came near unto him and said, O my Lord, let thy servant, I pray thee, speak a word in my Lord's ears, and let not thine anger burn against thy servant, for thou art even as Pharaoh. My Lord asked his servant, saying, Have ye a father or a brother? And we said unto my Lord, We have a father, an old man, and a child of his old age, a little one. And his brother is dead, and he's alone, or he alone is left of his mother, and his father loveth him. Now you know the story. They've run up on Joseph, and Joseph has hid himself from them. He hadn't revealed himself to them. And he's putting them through a few tests. And as you go through the story, you'll see he does reveal himself. He knew they had a father. He knew. He just wanted to know, was he still living? He knew they had a father. Now, so verse 19, I want to take that just a little bit. I wouldn't say out of context, but I want to apply it to what I want to talk about tonight. In verse 19, he said, My Lord asked his servants, saying, Have ye a father? You know, that just jumps on me. Have ye a father? I got thinking about that. Of course, I myself have never had a father. And that used to be unusual the day that I grew up in. I think I don't even know what the odds were, but most families had a whole family, a mother, a father, and children. I never knew my father, never met him, never knew my grandparents. They died before I was old enough to know them. But I got to thinking about that, and I read somewhere that one out of four babies now, listen to this, read the paper, the births in the paper if you don't believe it. One out of four babies born in America now have no father living in the house. That's unbelievable. One out of four babies born today don't have a father living in the house. Probably will not ever have a father living in the house. Now our government's made it that way for one thing, because they pay these people if they have a mother and a father. They don't have a father in the house, they get a check. That's right. That's right. So they encourage people not being married. But on the other hand, sin also has created this problem. The promiscuity, the loose living of people today. They don't really want a family. And even in some cases, the women know who the father is and just don't want him there. Just don't want him there. There's all kinds of reasons for that. But fathers are needed. In every home, there needs to be a father in the house. Now, he asked a question, do you have a father? And I'm almost afraid to ask people when they come to church now, if a woman comes with children, I'm afraid to ask, do these children have a father? Where's he at? You know. And then I go to visit people, and I'm almost afraid to visit sometimes when I see a woman and children, because a lot of times, at least one out of four, there won't be a man in that house. Now, a lot of women think, well, that's okay, because they're free, and they can raise their children any way they want to, And a lot of them nowadays think, matter of fact, even homosexual women, they'll have children, but they'll have surrogate fathers. And they don't want a father living in the house. And they think that's okay. Well, we're just now beginning to see the results of people in America who grew up with no father in the house. All this stuff going on in the streets, and the rioting, and the rudeness, and the ungodliness is by these young people, it's because there was not a father figure in that house. And then on the other hand, some of them had fathers, but they wasn't acting like fathers. So they really didn't have a father. But fathers are needed as an example of a godly man. I hope when I go to heaven and my children are still here, they can go to the funeral home and say, I'm going to miss him. He was a godly man. Especially young boys need a godly man in their life. Especially boys. And we're messing up a whole generation of young people. Because fathers either won't take their place or somebody don't want to take their place. And they think, well, that's okay because I'm free, I can do whatever I want to. But we're just now seeing the results. The jails are full of people. They've lowered the penalties on laws in order not to keep these people in jail, these young men. There's so many of them. The jails can't hold them. So Barack Obama and he and Eric Holder went and somehow they manipulated the system to where these young men put in jail for drugs and shootings and all this stuff. They let them out, thousands of them, because there's no room. So instead of enforcing the law and building more jails, they just let out people that should stay in jail. Every day I read in papers, some young man got arrested for fighting or drunk driving or something. In his car they found meth and pot and all this stuff. And they took him to court. And as you read, you'll see he was already on probation. Or he had been in jail and served his time and he was back out because he got 10 years and they kept him 3. And you can ask my wife. I say it about every morning. Another case of they had him and they let him go. And I'll guarantee if you trace these people, four out of ten at least, probably half, did not have a father influence on them. And the ones that did didn't have a godly father influence on them. I'm not talking about perfect. I'm talking about a godly man does the best he can. He admits his mistakes, he makes apologies, and he tries to live for God, and he lives on. I'm not talking about these crooks, you know, they come in the house and pile up on some woman, let her work and pay the bills. I'm not talking about that kind of man. They need a real man. Amen. And they need a real man. Girls need a real man in the house. They need a man that they can respect, that they can look up to, that they can honor. Because let me tell you something, if they grew up without a father, when they get married, they've never lived in a house with a man, and it's going to be a hard road to hoe, buddy, trying to get used to that man living in the house. It's going to ruin all those Hollywood expectations. Amen. Ask my wife. He makes noise every time he eats. I'll be eating ice cream. She'll go looking at me. She'll say, I didn't know ice cream made noise. I said, I'm a man. I make noise. Any of you other men here? We make noise. We're men. We need a man's head at home. Now, don't get me wrong, husbands and wives work together, but the final accounting will be at the judgment seat of Christ, and Jesus Christ will look at that man, and he'll say, now let's talk about how you handled this. And you won't be able to pass it off like you usually do when the preacher comes to your door and says, let me go get my wife. Yeah. I've had men come to the door and say, my wife handles that stuff. Let me go get her. And I'll stop them. I say, well, that's why I come see you. But I guarantee you, they need a godly man that's the head of the home. God put this stuff in order. We didn't do this. And a woman to help him be the head of the home. Encourage him. Bless him. Build him up. My wife lies to me all the time. She'll say, you're so handsome. She'll say, you're the handsomest man at church. So I got to say it. I said, well, you're the prettiest girl at church today. But they lie to you, brother, but they ought to.
Somebody's got to tell us something good.
What you laughing about, Billy Butt? Right? Your wife lies to you all the time. Well, she helped prop you up. But you know, we need some men that'll be the priest of the home. Did you know in the Old Testament there was no church, and before the temple there was no temple, and before the temple there were already sacrifices, and there was already worshiping God all the way from the garden? And you know why? Because the man in that house was the high priest of the family. That was the church. That was his church. His job was to raise that family. And as that man got older and he had sons, they brought their family to him. And he was the high priest of every one of them. And one out of four babies now have a father that they know of. So, a whole generation, two or three, have grown up without any respect for the father. Without any respect for his headship. They watch these stinking TV programs that make fun of men and husbands and fathers. And if you watch that junk, you're crippled too high for crutches. I don't even know if he comes on anymore. Al Bundy. Junk like that. Junk like that. The Simpsons. Junk like that. Make fun of fatherhood. I better go on. He's the high priest at home. They need to see it. And listen, I want to thank God, though, that even though I never had an earthly father, God the Father adopted me one day.
Yes.
March the 5th, 1978, he came down there to the poorhouse and he adopted this poor old boy that had no father. And it took a lot of molding and making and breaking and remaking, but he made me into a man. I wasn't much of a man before that. Then many times I had to apologize to my children and say, I'm sorry, I don't know how to be a father. I never had one. I wish I had. I wish I'd had a good example. I didn't. I'm doing the best I can do. Pray for me. But thank God, God made me into a father. God made me into the priest of my home. God did that. So, I just want to thank God we have a father. Whether you had one at home or not, whether he was good or not, whether he run off and left you or not, we Christians have a father. Amen? Amen. Just tell you about three things about our father. Psalm 103 verse 13 says, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. Now thank God, he claims us, he cares for us, and he comforts us because he pities us. You ever looked at one of your kids and felt sorry for them? Amen. That's right, sister. We look at them, sometimes we say, Lord, have mercy. God, have mercy on that young'un. I feel sorry for them. They don't know what they're about to get into. They won't listen to me. They won't listen to anybody else. But I know who they're fixing to listen to. Experience. And experience is a bad teacher. It's a hard teacher. But God pities us. Sometimes I think he looks down on his adopted children and he just kind of thinks, I don't know what happened, but I'm going to fix that. Amen. I'm going to fix that. We used to take kids to camp every summer, 100 and something kids, about half of them boys. Me and Terry McAteer would sit down there beside the swimming pool up to 3 foot deep. We'd let them little boys swim. We'd watch them, you know. We couldn't get in. They'd drown us. So every once in a while, we'd blow the whistle. They'd all get out. And me and Brother Terry get in, swim around, cool off. Then we'd get back out and let them back in. Brother Terry was sitting there one day. I said, what you looking at, Brother Terry? He said, that boy right there. I said, what's wrong with him? He said, I don't know. He said, but I feel sorry for him. He said, he's either going to grow up to be the best bank robber that ever lived or the best Baptist preacher. He said, but either way, he's got a hard road to go, buddy. That boy's going to have to take it hard all the way before he gets there. Because he didn't have a father. And it was wild. It was just wild. And a lot of times, we never forget, first time we took Terry McIntyre to camp, Terry took a billfold full of money. And and we had Snack Shack. And Snack Shack was like between things. You get, it's in the hot heat of the day. You go through there and get you a Pepsi Cola and some Nabs and a Moon Pie or candy bar. Wait a minute, y'all don't know what Nabs are. Crackers or whatever. You just snacks, you know. And most of these kids came in on the bus. They had no money. They didn't even pay their way. We either raised money or Bud Mims just let them come for free. Most of them. Almost all of them. And so when they go through that, Terry went through there and I went through there at the Snack Shack and I got me a drink, you know, and a candy bar. And we went out there and we were sitting around. And this little old boy come over and sat on the ground beside Brother Terry looked at him and said, why ain't you going through the Snack Shack? He said, I ain't got no money. He said, here, boy, here's $2. Go get you something. And that boy went through. He came back through. I saw him go over and talk to some more boys. After a while, another boy come over and sat down. So Brother Terry said, what you doing, boy? I ain't got no money. He said, here's $2. Next day, he told me, he said, Brother Ron, I want you to take my billfold or something because every time I go to Snack Shack, I come back broke. He said, I pity these little old youngers. They ain't got nothing. And he'd just weep. He'd weep during chapel. He'd weep when he'd get to talking about them. And I think God the Father looks at us like that sometimes. He pities us. See, we think God's running around with a big baseball bat getting ready to bop you over the head every time you make a mistake. He's not doing that. Now, he's holy, he's pure, he's just, he's right, but he pities his children. And you don't whip your children every time they make a mistake. Sometimes you let the mistake whip your children. Amen. My mama used to say, you made your bed, now lie in it. My mama told me, said, if you ever go to jail, don't you call me. I went to jail one night. I went to jail one night. Who'd I call? Not her. I didn't call nobody. My friend, his daddy went and bought the old guy that had us put in jail who was alcoholic. He went and bought the old guy a pint of liquor and the man dropped the charges. And I ain't proud of that. But I'm saying this, at least well, somebody had pity on us. Now, did you know he claims us? Now, I've been called a lot of things growing up, and it wasn't anything that anybody would want to claim me by. And he'll take old poor, dirty, rotten sinner, pick that person up, bathe them in the blood of Jesus Christ, wash them in the Word of God, baptize them in His Holy Ghost, send them on their way, and he'll say, now they were once was lost, but now they're found. That's my child. You don't bother them. Amen. Also, in Genesis chapter 22, verse 8, if you will, Genesis 22:8. Y'all not listening fast enough. Genesis 22:8, Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. Now, did you know he provides for us? He provides for us. They were out there in that wilderness. And in Psalm it says, behold, he smote the rock that the waters gushed out and the streams overflowed. I like that. He provides for us. Now, I don't know about you, but you might work a job, make a lot of money, but that's not what he's talking about. He provided salvation in my past. I didn't do that. I didn't turn over a new leaf. I didn't join the church, get baptized to be saved. I turned to Christ. And he provided me that day with what I needed. Eternal salvation. I'll never die. I'm going to live as long as God lives. Now, he did that. He provided that. Nobody else could have done that for me. Even an earthly father couldn't have done that for me. By the way, parents, you can't give your children salvation either. By the way, grandparents, You can't give your grandparents, your grandkids salvation either.
And I know some of you is helping raise your grandkids. I understand all that.
Also remember, God provided you to help, not to be their parents. Grandparents can't be parents. My kids tell me all the time, when we was little, you didn't let us get by with that. I said, I'm the grandparent now, I'm not the parent. Grandparents will ruin a child.
Yes.
Amen. That's why he gave them parents. Amen. I can't die for my grandkids. The Lord has done that already. And then he provided security too. Think about this. I got saved, but I don't keep myself saved. Now, in him that's able to keep you and present you faultless. That's what he says in Jude 22. It's his job to get me to heaven. He's going to keep me. I am secure in the hand of God. Jesus said, you're in my hand. My hand's in the Father's hand. No man can pluck you out. I don't worry about losing it. I never found it. He gave it to me. I wasn't even looking for it.
Amen.
I'm looking for everything else but that. And he saved me anyway. And now it's his job to get me to heaven. And he'll keep me. He'll do that. Now my heavenly Father does that for me. If I had an earthly father, he couldn't have given me security. He could have protected me from some things in the world, but he couldn't have given me eternal security. And then I thought about this. Not only did he save me and he secured me, but he's going to satisfy me. I'm satisfied. I'm not looking for anything else. Since March the 5th, 1978, when I met Jesus Christ, I got satisfied. I ain't looking for nothing else. Well, preacher, have you ever tried Jehovah's Witness? Don't have to. I got the real thing. I'm satisfied. Why would I want to look at something that don't even satisfy them? And they have no security. And they don't know they have salvation. Amen? I'm satisfied. Boy, you get all these people trying these different denominations and different religions and cults and all that. You know what their problem is? They've never been satisfied. Once you get born again, you will not go looking for water and milk and meat and food from anybody but your Heavenly Father from now on. And by the way, it don't take much to recognize a fake once you got the real thing. I mean, I'm just going to go ahead and say it for Brother Danny. You know, they used to call Coca-Cola the real thing. No. Pepsi. I'll see if y'all listen. Coca-Cola ain't the real thing. Pepsi. Once you have Pepsi, you don't care about Coca-Cola no more. What? You ever drank Pepsi, bro? Both! You must have drank diet Pepsi. You didn't drink the real thing. Ain't right, Brother Danny? Danny's backslid. He was drinking some kind of power drink Saturday morning. He drinks Mountain Dew. I called him drinking a Mountain Dew. He ain't satisfied. But one day in the future, he's going to satisfy all of us. Once and for all, we will be completely satisfied.
Amen.
And by the way, once you get saved and secure, the things this world don't have as much attraction to them as they used to. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. I like bologna. But if you got steak, I don't need no stinking bologna. I got steak, amen. That'll satisfy me. Bologna, I'll be back looking for more after a while. I'm just taking farther than that. When I joined Babs Church, that satisfied me.
Amen.
I'm not looking for it anywhere else. And listen, I knew what I was getting into before I ever joined church. I went to the public library and I read 4 volumes on all the denominations and what they believe. And who founded them and what their doctrines were and all that stuff. And when it got to Baptists, they said, Baptists say they have no founder but Jesus Christ and the Bible. So there's over 100 different kinds of Baptists. You got Northern Baptists, Southern Baptists, Free Will Baptist, Primitive Baptist, Conservative Baptist, all these different kinds of Baptists said, but they all say that the Bible is the final authority and Jesus is the head of the church. I said, there it is. I'm satisfied. Why go anywhere else? Well, preacher, that's kind of bigoted. Call it whatever you want to. If you ever get satisfied, you'll say the same thing. I ain't hunting nothing else. Well, you need to get filled with the Holy Ghost. Got that in the Baptist church. Well, you need the joy of the Lord. Found that in the Baptist church. Amen. Well, you need more fellowship. Plenty of it in the Baptist church. All you got to do is talk about food. They'll be there. Amen. Psalm 48:1. I'm almost through. Psalm 4:8. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep. For thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. Now he protects me. Don't you think that the job of a father is to protect his children? It's a sorry man that won't protect his children. Say amen right there. I die for my children. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Hey, I'll put up a lot from you on me, but don't you mess with my children. I'll slap you in Jesus' name and ask him to forgive me, and he's already said he would. Don't mess with my children. Amen. Amen. He protects us. He protects us. Charlie Burgess used to be a millionaire. He owned a trucking company up around Gastonia and Charlotte. And then it spread all through the country. He had 13 terminals. I think he had 350 trucks when I knew him. He paid my way to pastor school for the first time in Hammond, Indiana, at First Baptist up there. He flew me up there, me and Wayne Smith, and he paid for our motel rooms for that week, and he paid for a rental car for that week. And he said, you'll have to buy your own food. And if you buy any books or stuff, if you want any books or stuff, you have to buy those. I never bought a bite to eat. And I never bought a book. And I come out of there with every book they offered. And I was heavier when I left. He paid for it all. He paid for it all. On the back of his trucks, it says this. And I'm not going to turn there. But it's in Proverbs 21:31. It says, the horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord. And that's what's written on the back of his trucks. Safety is of the Lord. That's what he wrote on the back of his truck. Everywhere he went, he witnessed for Christ. This man was a multi-millionaire. But he talked like an old rough trucker. He was just an old trucker, you know, that learned the business. And Lord blessed him. And he gave churches money. He bought churches, buses. Matter of fact, when we got back from Baptist school, he bought Blessed Hope two beautiful, nice, first-class buses so we could start bus routes. Wonderful man. And he'd tell you right quick, son, anything you can do in this world to stay safe, safety is of the Lord. Yeah, he learned how to fly a little Cessna airplane when he was in his 70s. And he took off from the Charlotte Airport one day with a plane load of gospel tracts he had printed and paid for, and he was taking them somewhere to give them to some church. And he crashed on I-85. They said when the EMTs got there, he was sitting up on the wing. He done leaned over on the road, and he was sitting up on the wing reading his Bible. Didn't scare him at all. And before it was over, he led one of the EMT workers to the Lord right there at the crash site. He never was scared. Safety is of the Lord. Amen. Why should we worry about what man could do to us? It's got to pass through the hands of God first. He is our Father. Yes. My Father won't let you mess with me. Amen. I've seen him whoop people that tried to mess with me. Amen, I have. Sometimes I've just kept my mouth shut and let them go on and on and on and on. And I've seen some of them lately, And Lord's whipped them. He's broken them. And I always say this, just keep on trucking. You'll outlive those people if you just keep on trucking, because God will take care of it. You ain't got to defend yourself. Safety is of the Lord. Safety from Satan, safety from ourselves. Now, let's be honest. We don't do everything we think about.
Because that's how temptation starts, is in the thinking. I used to call it stinking thinking. Stinking thinking. We all got that problem, stinking thinking. And write that down somewhere. I done forgot that. Stinking thinking. Okay. You got it now, don't you, brother? Stinking thinking. That don't sound near as good as stinking thinking, does it? You hang around, Thomas. I'll teach you the real King James Bible. Amen? Amen? But I'm glad he protects me from myself. Amen? Amen. Some of y'all ought to be cutting flips right now. God protected you from what you would have done, and he didn't let you do it. You ever looked at one of your kids and said, "No, you ain't doing that. No, I'll lock you in your room. I'll chain you to the bed. I'll nail the window shut. You're not doing that." One of them told me one time, "Well, I'll call the DSS. I'll call the law." I said, "Go ahead and call them. I'll tell them the same thing I told you. You ain't doing that." Amen? Sometimes you got to protect your children from themselves. I pity a father won't look at his children and say no every once in a while.
Amen.
Amen. Now, I used to whip my children when they were little. I'd switch them. I'd belt them. But I'd cry while I was doing it. I really did. I'd cry. And I hated it. I hate it. And, of course, it's the old saying, "I'm doing this for your own good." And they don't really believe that. Until later on, they come back and say, "Daddy, thank you." Amen. People said, "You was hard, Daddy." But you wasn't hard. You was doing what you had to do, Daddy.
Yes.
Amen. And God's the same way. Sometimes we think God's hard on us, but we'll get to heaven, Brother Danny, and we'll say, "Thank you, Father." And then on top of that, sometimes he's a father that punishes us. But you know what? There's one thing about this father. You know what else he does? He promises us some things too. He said, "You believe on my son, I'll save you." He said, "You follow him, I'll give you eternal life." He said, "Nothing can prosper that bothers you if I'm in on you. If I'm taking care of you, you'll be all right. I'm going to do this. I'm going to take care of you. No weapon formed against you is going to harm you. Not as long as I'm here." Come on, Father. That's what our Heavenly Father says. And then besides that, he gets up to John 14. He said, "And in my Father's house are many mansions." And he said, "And I go and prepare a place for you." Amen. That's a promise right there. Amen. Now, those of us who know what a poor boy's supper is, we don't own the NIV. Not inspired version is what that stands for. NIV says, "In my Father's house are many rooms." I don't want no stinking room. I've had a room. I want that mansion. Amen?
Amen.
This whole world's been hard on me, and he's promised me a mansion. I'm not going to let some Bible denier steal my mansion, my promise from me that he gave me.
Amen.
He promised me healing. Amen, he did.
Yes.
I've seen him heal a lot of people.
Yes.
Y'all want to say amen? You've seen it too. And he promised us prosperity if we'll honor him with all our stuff. He'll honor us. Amen. Old Bully Falkenberry used to say, "I've never seen a saved, baptized, living right, tithing Baptist that needed anything." He said, "Now you might want some stuff, but you don't need anything because he's promised to meet all your needs."
Amen.
And if you're faithful, your Father will bless you. And he'll honor his word, those promises he'll give to you. Now listen, folks, this is the closest thing to hell we're ever going to be in. And thank God I've got a Heavenly Father that takes care of me while I travel through the valleys and the dirt and the terrible times in this whole world. Amen. It's also a dead battery. The Lord didn't send me that battery, Danny did. Now listen, folks. Every house needs a father, but if you don't have a father in your house, you can have the Heavenly Father. He'll adopt you. He'll take the place of your earthly father. He'll love you like your earthly father never could, though he wanted to. And he'll protect you like your earthly father never could, though he wanted to. And he'll supply all your needs like your earthly father wanted to. God will do it. And then he'll give you a place, a home in heaven. And then finally, we'll get to see him face to face. Now, that's my father. Y'all get to bragging, amen? Y'all get to bragging on fathers. Let me tell you about my father, who art in heaven. Amen. That's enough to make a Presbyterian shout. Let's stand. Every head bowed, every eye closed.